I keep thinking about how beautiful it is outside today, and it's a beautiful day. So I know two people that are very happy about this weather today. I'm doing a wedding today at 2:30 at Prospect Park, and I'm sure that they're very happy that it's a beautiful day also. Are you guys ready? Are you ready for the holidays? Come on, yeah, you are. Hopefully after today's message, you will be. I was talking the other morning. I don't know whether it was last Sunday night or whether it was during Monday morning prayer, but one of the two. I was talking, and we were talking about, man, I'm excited for it this year. I don't know why. I mean, I love Christmas season, but I really am, and I just really this year. And I think the Lord's laying on other people's hearts too, because the idea came up about doing the Thanksgiving meal for the community. And I just, something about this year, I just really want to reach out and show God's blessing to as many people as we possibly can, because we have such an awesome God. And all we see, unfortunately, I'm not going to get into this very much, I don't want to depress you, but all we see on that and the news and the newspapers is depressing stuff, and I don't like it. And you know, God has given us so many blessings that I really don't think it's necessary to dwell on that stuff. I mean, we can understand what's going on, and yes, we need to be very diligent in what we do. I don't know if any of you watched the pastor spot thing that I did this week on Friday. But, you know, I talked a lot about that. But I'm not going to talk about that this morning, because I want to talk about some fun, neat stuff, because it's out there. And I don't want the burdens of daily life to be overshadowed without stopping to take a time of celebration. So this morning, I'm in a passage in Leviticus 23. And I'm going to begin in verse 33, but I want to give you a little background. We're talking about the different feasts that they were to celebrate, that the Jews were to celebrate. And if we go all the way back in the beginning of the chapter, we'll see the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We look at the Sabbath and the Feast of First Fruits, which took place in the beginning of July, basically, where that was when the wheat harvest would begin. And they celebrated those first fruits, those things that came in, and God's provision. But today I want to talk about the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles was an October feast. And a lot of people think that our day of Thanksgiving, the thought process of that may have even come through this, because of what took place during that feast. Now, when God commanded these feasts and things to be celebrated, they were with purpose. They were with purpose, but they were also a big deal. And this one really lasted. I want to read this passage in Leviticus chapter 23 of something. If you could, please help me with this. Sometimes I will tell you that I'm in a different passage than I am. So when I do that, correct, raise your hand and say, where are you? And I will make sure that I let you know where you're supposed to be. But anyways, today I'm pretty sure that I'm in Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 33. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be a feast of tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. And on the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. So we're marked by the first day was a day of rest, a total day of rest. You were supposed to focus on the Lord, as we should take that time ourselves on a day of rest, as we should have also. And then it says, for 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation. So we're talking about a first day of rest and an eighth day of rest. And in between, they're sacrificing to the Lord, which you know that's what they did when they gave things to the Lord. They sacrificed them on an altar. And it says, And you shall offer an offering made by burnt fire to the Lord. It is sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it. These are the feasts of the Lord, which shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to be burnt offerings and a grain offering, a sacrifice and a drink offering, everything on this day. So this was a very wide sacrifice that they were to do. It kind of covered everything that you do. It didn't matter whether you tended grapevines, whether you had a harvest, or whatever you did. Excuse me. Besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, besides your gifts, besides your vows, besides all your free will offerings which you give to the Lord, this was above and beyond. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. And on the first days there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day, excuse me, the fruit of beautiful trees, branches and palm trees, boughs and leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord for 7 days. And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. And you shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who were native Israelites shall dwell in the booths. So, I didn't bring a cough drop up here. I should have. If anyone's got one, throw it at me. So this was also called, besides the festival of tabernacles, they would call it the festival of booths. And what that meant was, thank you very much. Got them everywhere, huh? So what were these booths and why did they do it? Well, they were celebrating the fact that when they were brought out into the desert, leaving Egypt, that the Lord had them stay in booths, in tents, in things to cover themselves. So these guys went on a very primitive, early camping. They were the first campers on camping trips. So all you campers can feel great. They were to camp out for 7 days in a little thing they made of boughs and very nice. They even decorated them. It was really cool. And to this day, when they celebrate that, they make a little booth and they decorate it with stuff. And it's for 7 days. They're spending 7 days of stepping back and celebrating. Not only were they brought out of Egypt, but the law was given to them on Mount Sinai. They had all this stuff to celebrate what was going on, what God had done. And one of the most important things, the part of the booth was that God always provided shelter and a covering for his people. And this was to commemorate that, in a shelter or covering. So what you have all these people, and it was not just everyone in their entourage, so to speak. Everyone. They would bring in, you know, first and foremost, they were blood-born Jews. But they also would bring in family, friends, slaves, everyone that was under the roof of their household and the protection of their name, went on this elaborate little camping trip. So I can't imagine seeing all these booths everywhere. It had to be amazing. And what they did was every day they would get up and they would go right back to sacrificing, celebrating, and remembering. How cool is that? 7 days. It says in verse 41, you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths. And your generations may know I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So Moses declared to the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. So, here they are. This is just one of the feasts. And I'd like to get into a little bit more of these in the coming weeks because they really do have great meaning. I recognize that we're not Jewish. We don't celebrate these things. But we can, in principle, celebrate the meaning of what they did. And this is the Jews going back and remembering everything that God had done for them and continue to do for them. And, you know, nothing makes you think about something more than being out of your typical element, so to speak. I don't know if any of you, how many of you guys have ever gone on an Emmaus walk? Anybody? Yeah, I know there's several of you. Barry out there, I know, has. You have. You know, isn't it interesting that when you're taken out of your normal environment and you can't be there, you're not on a cell phone, you're not with people that, you're not doing your daily thing, how easy it is to clear your mind and think about what you should. So they were taken out of their normal environment, and they said, look, this is, it's kind of like fasting. You know, the purpose of fasting is not to lose weight, although sometimes an added benefit. The purpose of fasting is to take you out of your normal element and make you realize and think why you're doing it. I'm starving. Why am I starving? Because now I need to remember this about the Lord, or I need to focus on this or pray about this matter. In the same way, they were taken out and they put in these little booths for 7 days. And they praised God for what he had done for them and for the provision that was given. I know that there's some confusion. I said the seventh month, we have to look at the Jewish calendar for this because it was a feast in October. And October is our 10th month. But, you know, all the things coming in. So let's kind of draw this in a little bit. And let's kind of think of us today. Let's think of you, where you're sitting. And over the last year, every one of you, the Lord has made a provision for. Every one of you, the Lord has kept some form of a roof over your head. Every one of you has had a job, hopefully, a job and had income coming in that was provided. And you labored to do that. Just like they labored in the fields, and they counted on God for their crops to be watered, for their crops to come in, and they were thanking God for all that stuff, for everything he was doing for them. Just like that, you know, all of you labor in your jobs, you labor in what you do, and you better thank God that that job's still there, because just like a farmer that would get wiped out by drought back then, they didn't have relief programs except each other and God. And your job, you can work every day at it, but if it's the job goes away, it's out of your hands in most cases. Company closes down. They move you out. They want younger people. Whatever the case may be, God has given you what you have right now. And I think most of us probably have enough. And I think in our culture today, a lot of times, if we don't have enough, it's because we've set the bar higher than maybe our income is allowing us to many times. And also, of course, we know prices are going up a lot. So well, how do we fix that? Well, we make adjustments, right? We have to make some adjustments. Where can we save? Where can we? But you know, even with that, I think that if we're praising God for what he's giving us, and we're thanking him for all the crops that come in, God has an amazing way of making things stretch. He really does. And it's little stuff you may not even notice. It's maybe, I think all of you could probably think of examples that fit you personally. I like to go back to one that's kind of fun with me. I don't know why this one's stuck in my head, because we've all had them so many times. But several years ago, Kelly and, you know, when you're raising, you guys know, you're raising kids, things surprise you all the time, you know, especially, you know, you may get a surprise phone bill because somebody's been doing way more than they ought to be doing. I don't know if that's ever happened. You might get a, whatever the case may be, something pop up. Some of these schools today, what they're charging for athletic fees to even play is mind-boggling. And, you know, just things that pop up all the time. Speaking of which, I really don't want to go chase a rabbit. I'm accused of that sometimes, but it did remind me earlier. We have a praise and a prayer request. The praise is that Buckeye Valley and Elgin both made the playoffs. Buckeye Valley will be going to St. Mary's, and Elgin will be going down by Marietta, their football teams. So, praise that they made it. Prayer request that they have traveling safety, because they're driving a long way to these games and coming back very late. So I just kind of sneak that in there so I didn't forget it anymore. So back to where I was. I thought it was mine for a minute. Mine does the same tone. But anyway, back where I was, I remember Kelly Tellett sharing a few years ago that, as you know, raising families, money's always tight. You just don't have extra money all the time. And she had gone to the mailbox and opened it up, and there was a bill for propane, and it was like, oh my word. You know, I hadn't even, you know, it had left her mind. It was a huge bill. But then there was another envelope in there that she totally didn't expect, which was from a conference that her and John had gone to, and she didn't realize they were paying them for the conference. And there was the amount of the gas bill. Literally. God supplies needs in ways that you always don't know and don't see. I think that sometimes God diverts things that you never see. I think that he's always running a block for you ahead of time. You're running with the ball, and he's that blocker in front of you, and he's moving stuff out of the way, and we don't even see it. So do we all have something to be thankful for? Maybe you can sit there and think to yourself, boy, it's been a really rough year, rough few months. I'm struggling with things to be thankful for. And what you don't even realize, the reason you're even where you are today is because God has been running interference for you. And although that you may not be totally satisfied with where you are, it could be a lot worse. But God's been there. Isn't that great? So young people, let me ask you this. What do you have to be thankful for? What do you have that God's been doing for you? What do you have that where God's been running interference? What provision do you have? Well, I worry about mom and dad for that stuff, right? I'm kind of under their roof and their umbrella right now, and you know, I'm not going to worry about those things because, I mean, you understand something. You need to, as a young person, start developing a thankful heart. It will bless you your entire life if you do. And I mean that. When you're in your room alone at night, think about the blessings God has given you. Think about the things that could have happened that you were worried about that never happened. God has blessed us all so much. The very fact that we're sitting in a church today and allowed to do it, when most of the world is not allowed to do what we're doing, is a huge blessing. The very fact that you have adults praying for you constantly is a monumental blessing. And you don't even know the ones that are praying sometimes. You know, I had people come up to me when I was a young person, and they'd say, Steve, we just want you to know we're praying for you and have been praying for you every day. And you know, that really touched my heart, even as a younger person, to know that someone cared enough about me that they would take time out of their day to speak to their awesome, holy God and lift me up to them. So are we praying for other people? You know, anytime you're truly thankful, it brings action, right? Aren't lovely words nothing if they don't have action with them? Someone can tell someone they love them all day long, but if there's no sign that they love them, they're not going to believe that they love them, right? Someone says, you know, I feel I'm one of your best friends, but there's nothing there that shows that, so are you really? You know, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. But am I really? Look, when you love, if you love and care for someone, pray for them. You may not have 5 cents to help them if they're in a pickle, but you can certainly pray for them and let that come, and God will direct it from somewhere else. The point is, we don't have any excuse not to help people and be thankful. If we're truly thankful for what God gives us and has done for us, we're going to have a giving spirit of our own and a thankful spirit of our own. And we're going to see, I want to see other people tell me of a great blessing that has happened with them. Because isn't that what we pray for anyway? Don't we love each other enough that we want to see all of us lifted up? And that blessing can come from so many ways. We always think of blessings as being financial. That's just American thought. I truly believe it is. It's our culture of thought. You know, we've always been the land of plenty and the land of opportunity and jobs, and we've always been a prosperous nation. And when you think of blessing, you think of financial blessing. It's just the first thing that comes to mind. But I want to tell you something as an old man standing up here, but I've felt this way for many, many years, is the greatest blessings that we can have sometimes center around peace of mind. I remember one of my favorite songs as a teenager was a Boston song. It was called More Than a Feeling. And in the lyrics he said, I don't care about money, I don't care about any of this stuff, just give me my peace of mind. All I want is to have peace of mind. And I think even as a young person I knew that. That peace of mind was so important. And it is. But with peace of mind, that what gives us the peace of mind is to be where God wants us to be. And God wants us to desire Him more each day. God wants us to be thankful for the harvest. And to realize first and foremost, just like they were to realize as they dealt in these little booths that they lived in for 7 days, they were to realize God kept a provision for us all the time. He kept a shelter for us. All those wandering in the desert for years, we were always made to have shelter and we're always made to have food. And God provided for us. And I pray that as we go into this season this year, into the season of what we call a holiday season is what it's called, that we remember where our blessings come from and why God blesses us. God, yes, He blesses us. He loves you. And He wants to shower you with blessings as any loving father does, right? Sometimes, dads, we can get caught up in that and want to go a little overboard sometimes. But God never goes overboard. He does just enough. And He gives you what you need. And He knows what you're going to do with it. And He wants you to take what He's given you and learn to bless other people. Well, Pastor, I'm doing all I can right now. Oh, believe me. Pray, 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 pray. I think one of the greatest blessings that you can do for others, like I said a few minutes ago, is to pray. Take that time. It's not hard to have those few minutes of your own where you say, Lord, lay someone on. If you don't have anyone that comes to your mind to pray for, Lord, lay someone on my heart that really needs prayer right now. And oh, He will. And I'll tell you something else really cool. If you're struggling with someone, it's very hard to keep a bad attitude towards them if you're praying for them. And I don't mean praying that they get theirs. But praying the Lord works in their lives. Some of my friends over the years have been people that I never would have believed would have been friends of mine. And I've developed friendships out of people that I had great animosity with because I gave it to the Lord. And we need to do that. See, when I think of Thanksgiving, as we're coming into Thanksgiving, we have so much to be thankful for. It's not just the harvest. It's the protection. It's the care. It's the love that he walks with us. I don't want to walk alone. And you know, everyone, that even if you have the closest relationship with your spouse and you get along great, or young people, you have great friends that you can interact with and great parents you can interact with, there are times when you are alone. You're an individual. You're alone. There's you. And there's nothing those people around you can do to make you feel like you're not alone. But when Jesus walks with you, you're never alone. You may feel alone. Talk to him anyway. You may feel like you don't have anything. Thank him anyway. Because he sustains you and he takes care of you. See, it's that thing of learning to trust him regardless. Because when we trust him regardless, we're going to be okay no matter where we are. You get that? I want to ask some of you a question. And if you want to share a story, I won't stop you. Have you ever been around somebody that's been in dire straits, maybe even at the end of their life, that for some strange reason has total peace about it? And why did they? Anybody think of someone like that? Anybody want to share a story? Mike? I just talked to a lady in town, and her mother went home to be with the Lord last week. She's 92, and she said, "Boy, I'm ready to go. Just let me go." And she went from being fine to going downhill in 24 hours and passing away. And she knew what was going on. I mean, she knew she was there, and she was fine with it. It's like, you know what? Let's go. I've known people that have been struggling with really severe illnesses, and they said, "Oh, it's okay, the Lord has me here." I'll share a quick story. I was talking to a lady that I'd gone to church with as a kid, and we were talking about faith, and there was a lady in the church that I grew up with that sang in the choir, and she was there long after I left. And grew up and left the area. And this lady had a really bad case of cancer. And this friend shared with me that right through the worst of it, and all the way to the end, this lady was in the choir. I mean, she was there. And she asked this lady one day, she said, "Sue, how do you do it?" She said, "Well..." She said, "Because I'm happy, I'm where I am, and God has done with me as he wishes." Said that, you know, she said, "I wouldn't want anyone else to go through this but me. Because God's carrying me through it. And if I can continually bless his name till I can't do it anymore, that is what I'll do." And he said, "You know, God chose..." This blew me away. "God chose me to go through this because he... And I'm thrilled that he's using me the way he is, being an example to other people of total trust in Jesus, that they may realize that no matter where they are, they can have total trust in Jesus." Isn't that amazing? Praise God for that. Praise God for that. I mean, we all fear those desperate things, don't we? Yes?
Getting ready to get married. Kind of funny story, maybe not appropriate all the way but we'll kind of tell you about it. My son and his wife at that time asked my sister to read something at church for them. And in the world we live in right now, we keep hearing, you know, end times things. So we keep hearing people say, when is that God going to come? When is he coming? And my sister got in the vehicle with my husband and I, and she got in the car and asked, did you know that the kids wanted me to read a reading? I said, yes. She said, well, I don't feel like I'm Christianese, but I'm very loving. And we don't know the day or the hour that the Lord's going to take us, if it's the rapture or if it's a death. So I started laughing. I said, yeah, one of the aunts on each side was going to read something. And she said, I said, but I don't want to go see St. Peter at the pearly gate and say, oh, Marla, you were very Christianese. Ta-ta for now. I want St. Peter to say to me, Marla, you asked forgiveness of your sins. You asked me to be your Lord and Savior. Good and faithful servant, come in. Well, my husband proceeded to say, oh, good, I get to go with you because we're married. And he goes, oh, crap, I'm screwed. It's till death do us part. And we laughed. And I looked at my sister. Her last name was Del Grosso, capital D-E-L, space G-R-O-S-O. I said, oh, Connie, St. Peter's going to have a heck of a time with you. And she, being the older sister, says, why is that? And I said, Mrs. De Grosso, let's start with a D or a G. We just laughed, had a good time that night. The next morning, we got up. We did our traditional goodbye with a selfie, as normal. Gave her a hug, told her I'd like to, you know, make sure you tell me when you get home. Because she'd always track where she would go. And when I got to Ohio, I got a phone call from my brother-in-law stating that she had been in an accident. And, you know, she didn't know Christ as a relationship, and she desired a relationship with people, but she didn't know where her self-worth was in Christ. And she, even though that we laughed and joked about it, she was saved. She was baptized. But 24 days later, she lost her life. So, you know, she got to hear about Christ before she died, because we don't know the day or the hour.
No, we don't. And we also don't know the heart.
Correct.
We don't know who's given their life to the Lord truly and who hasn't. And God gives us so much, and we have so much to be grateful for. But I guess let me wrap this up this morning, okay? What I'm saying is, let's all come to center here. Let's all come back to where to the brass tacks, where the rubber meets the road, toe the line, whatever phrase you want to use. Let's come down to the final point. We have to have that solid foundation, period. That solid foundation only comes through God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit guiding your life. We have to accept the fact that God sent His Son to the world to love us, not to judge us, but to pay for the sin that we're already judged for. God has already said sin is sin and what it is, and we don't have the strength to pay for it ourselves. So He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to do so. He took the sin of the world on Himself at the cross, and all that He asks us to do is to accept that gift of payment that He did for our sin. And know that He rose again on the third day, and we will spend eternity with Him. We've got to start there. And then begin a relationship and a walk that's never not thankful, that's always seeking Him and drawing closer and to knowing more about Him. And if we can do that, all these things of thankfulness, of charity, which is love, of helping other people, of doing those things, will fall into place. But we can't be a charitable giving person without that prerequisite, because we're on sinking sand. Do you understand what I mean? One of the first little rhymes, not rhyme, but little jingles, I guess, whatever, My parents used to sing with us as kids, and I can remember it from my youngest ages. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. When the rains come down and the floods came up, and the rains come down and the floods came up, the house in the sand goes splat. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. When the rains come down and the floods come up, when the rains come down and the floods come up, the house on the rock stays firm. And I've never forgot it. I was probably 4 years old when my dad used to sing that with me. And I've never forgot it, and it's true. Is your house on the rock? And that's where you have to start, on the rock. And you'll begin that walk of being thankful for everything God has given you. I can't believe the people that will say, God hadn't done anything for me. I'm like, really? You're breathing, dude. Did you have a meal this morning? Huh? Right? We need to realize what God has given us. And those of us that he has seemed to have given extraordinary abilities, I say us as a whole. I'm not sure I want to include myself in that. But, you know, some of you do have extraordinary abilities that go above and beyond. Extraordinary talents, extraordinary all kinds. But you understand something. God gave you that special talent. And now you got to ask yourself, why? Holly and I were at a, I filled in for a pastor friend of mine many years ago. And I think Holly was a teenager, or just married maybe. And she went with me. And there was a lady singing that night. And she was telling us that she had always had this beautiful voice. And she got involved in some really dark stuff and walked away from the Lord. And she was singing in a band and just really doing some horribly dark, dark stuff, some dark, dark music. And she lost her voice. She lost her voice. She lost her total ability to sing. And she did not even equate it to the fact that God had given her an incredible talent and she was wasting it. She came back to the Lord and surrendered her life to him. And miraculously, her voice came back. And she said, from this day forward, when I sing, it'll be something that God can be blessed by. Isn't that wonderful? So what I'm saying is, God's given you a talent, use it for him, right? I loved it when we had Joel Penton here. What an amazing athlete. But he's taken all his athletic ability and everything that he has, his resume, so to speak, behind him, playing for Ohio State, humanitarian Heisman, all those things that he had, and he's taken them and said, Lord, how can I use them to bless you? And the Lord has used him immensely. Immensely, and continues to, his entire family. He has so much to be thankful for, but so do you. And as this year comes up that we're coming into, if you desire and you decide, I'm going to have a thankful heart for what God has given me, and I'm going to totally reevaluate this thinking process, get rid of the stinking thinking, and bring in the thinking of you know what, God has blessed me, here's what I have. Lord, what can I do for you? And I want to see you back here a year from now with the biggest smile in the world on your face and saying, my word, the Lord has done so much through me this year. You may come back in worse health physically. You may come back with less money physically. You may come back uglier. I don't know. But it doesn't mean that even in those situations, you can't come back and say, my word, how the Lord has blessed me this year. And you go back and you look and you reevaluate, you know, what was it like before and how's the Lord used me this year? You know, if you want to evaluate where you are in the Lord and how you've grown in the Lord, one of the key things to do is literally take yourself back about 5 years and see where you were. And it may have been baby steps, but if you love the Lord and you've surrendered your life to him and you're in his word at all, you're going to see growth. And that's a huge blessing. That's all I want for you guys. I want for you guys to be happy, satisfied people in the Lord and watch Him bless your lives, and you share that blessing with others. Let your cup overflow onto those people that really need it and see it. The way that you're going to lead people to Jesus Christ is by example. Do you know that? Because we can talk all day long, but if they don't see it, it ain't going to happen. And be a good cheer. Be thankful. Be grateful. Will they take sour lemons to make them into lemonade? Huh? Right? And sometimes we think we get those sour lemons. That's okay. What can you do to make it lemonade? Oh, my truck broke down the other day and I just didn't have any time to get it fixed. But I had to do it anyways. I took the part off and I went into the parts store and weirdest thing happened. We got in this weird conversation with the guy at the counter. This is hypothetical, by the way, a story. And we start talking about that Lord, the Lord, and that man's coming to church this week. You see, what I'm saying is this. Take what you think is a bad situation and say, God, use me in it, and watch Him work. It's amazing. Just watch Him work. He will. Young people, I mean that too. I want you young people to be praying for your classmates. Young men, be praying for that girlfriend that you don't have yet, that she's drawing close to the Lord. Young ladies, be praying for that young man that may come into your life, that he'll know the Lord, and he's walking with the Lord now. If you're really going to care for someone down the road and love them, don't you desire that they be in that same place and know the Lord, and they know the Lord loves them? Boy, that covers a lot of ground, doesn't it? Huh? Praise God. Let's just all be thankful. Praise the Lord for this day. And these rotten little kids coming back in. And gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and all you've given us and for your many, many blessings. Lord, I pray that we do not forget. And Lord, that we love you more each and every day. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray they come forward this morning and ask to know that. Or grab a hold of someone, a friend, anyone, and just say, you know what, I really need to know the Lord. Lord, that we would follow you closer each and every day. Again, Lord, I ask you to be with our farmers as they harvest and in the safety. And in your name, amen.